Blog Talk Radio.
Timing. I just literally was opening the door to my house.
Well, I introduced myself, so you got to introduce yourself now.
Oh, I got to introduce myself? But everybody knows who I am. It's the icon, the legend, the number one guy in this business, and the guy that just came out of writer's retirement, the Tornado, Tony Pennicale.
Yeah, you got top of the blog status all day.
Woohoo! That's right, baby. Did you get to read it?
I read a little bit of it while I was editing it, and not editing.
Editing?
I just was like, you know, orchestrating editing.
What do you mean editing? Will you edit my work now?
Yeah, edited Janowski's work the other day.
No.
He had a prediction for the Friday Night Fights. I had to add a word for him because he forgot it.
Oh. So, what did you have to edit on mine?
No, I just had to do some formatting. It wasn't like changing words or anything. I trusted you.
I thought you were like changing my prediction around. Like mostly by first round knockout or something.
No, I had though for press passes for that event. Can you believe it?
I was talking to a Really?
Yeah.
Any luck?
I had applied for the fight previous to that, the Katsidis and Barrero fight there, with the main event with Eric Morales and was it Maidana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had applied for that late, and they didn't give it to me for that. But at the same time, I saw that there was an application for the Mosley-Pacquiao fight. So I applied at that time, and that was way on time. You know, it was plenty of time in advance. And so they just sent me back a form letter basically saying that I'm rejected. So I was like, what the hell? This is bull. You know? I mean, I got approved for the Cosmopolitan Casino there. They have fights again tomorrow night for fights. And it's going to be on the pool deck there. And granted, there's not, you know, any world beaters on the card. You know, one of the Peterson brothers was originally scheduled. Now he's off. They had set me up the first time without even knowing who I was. You know, they just hooked me up with the press passes, and again, they just did it again. So it just makes no sense to me that one place in town is allowing me to go to the fights, and then another place is saying no. And you'd think they'd be looking for all the help they can get. And I've been plugging their media stuff since day one. You know, everything this company puts out, I put on my website, which is probably more than you could say for a lot of the writers that are going to be credentialed for that card. You probably have a lot of newspaper guys that don't put out press releases.
You know what I've come to learn over literally the last 4 years that I've been working with Fight News Unlimited. First, mainly as just a writer covering fights, and then doing more, which is, you know, the online media. That until you really get your name known, you fight an uphill battle. And I'll tell you a situation that I ran into just a year or two ago. Some of the promoters don't get to know me. It's hard for me because I don't get to go to all the fights, mainly because I am, you know, holding down a full-time job that's working me way, way, way too many hours. And then trying to do other things and train people and stuff like that. So I don't get to go to as many fights as, like, actually a couple friends of mine. We have one gentleman by the name of George Hansen. I've sent you some of his stuff. He goes to pretty much everything. We have another guy by the name of Kurt Wolfheimer, who I became friends with about 4 years. He texted or IM'd me the other day, and we were just talking. But I remember going to a fight card, and I was like, there was one time I got turned away at the card. I said, hey, all I'm going to do is bring my camera in. I said, I've already bought my ticket. I'll buy my own ticket. I'm going to be covering this for Fight News Unlimited. I'm buying my own ticket. I just want to bring my camera. They're like, no. You have to leave your camera outside. And I'm like, and I pulled out, you know, my business card and everything. I said, here's my card. You know, they're like, no, you have to call and register with us. Okay, fine. So their next fight card, I call in, you know, about a week and a half, 2 weeks beforehand. And I said, hey, I said, I'm going to buy my ticket. I'll do that. I have no problem with that. I just want to be able to bring my camera in to get some photos for the site. What site are you with? Fight News Unlimited. Oh, we already got a representative from Fight News. I think it's Kurt Wolfheimer. I said, I know Kurt Wolfheimer, and I know Fight News. I am not Fight News. I am Fight News Unlimited. Or, if you want to call it, Unlimited Fight News. But add the word Unlimited in there. And then, I mean, I had to, you know, basically, you know, kiss their ass for them to give me a pass. Now, anytime there's a Russell Peltz show, all I got to do is call Maureen, who's like his head administrative assistant. Maureen loves me. Maureen always takes care of me. And what I always do as a courtesy for her and for Russell Peltz is after it's over, I will send them a copy of the article.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that not a lot of people in the business are familiar with the name. But it's partly because I really haven't done a lot of live coverage outside my own area, you know, so I guess it is partly, you know, you gotta make a name for yourself. But, I mean, the website gets a lot of hits. It's now up to almost the top 1 million websites in the world. It's just changed today on Alexa.com. It's ranked 1,212,295 out of all the websites ranked by Alexa, which is over probably 30 million websites, last I checked. So that's pretty good, you know. Definitely the top 10% of all websites. And it's unfortunate that they don't give us the credit we deserve. You know, if I didn't publish all the promos, but I published every single promo for this fight that I've gotten. I haven't turned one thing down. I haven't put one thing in the trash folder. I put everything on the website that's hyping this fight. But no respect. We need Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
We need the clip. No respect. Well, we'll see. Maybe I'll just have to start a suck site too.
Yeah, I'm not a partner, right?
Maybe I'll just have Rogue and start a suck site for this media company.
Yeah.
I'll see what my capabilities are. Well, we have a special guest on tonight. I mentioned earlier we have the kind of extension of last week with the FDNY boxing team coach, Bobby McGuire. And we also have a second guest that we booked for 9:15, Luke, the Little Hulk Caudillo.
Nice.
He was in UFC before, and now he's got another fight coming up with one of the smaller there, but he's still going strong. And we'll have to talk to him about what he's got going on in his history with the UFC and all that happy stuff. We do have a lot of interesting news. I don't necessarily know a lot about what happened over the weekend with boxing. I didn't see any MMA either, so I'm kind of behind the eight ball on that, so it's kind of a good thing we had two guests. But I have kept up on some of the news, and one of the big news stories that's been going around in the boxing circles is this Tommy Z story. He's on the reefer, apparently, or at least he tested positive for it, and he put through an appeal. So we're gonna find out. But apparently his second test came out negative. But after the fight, he tested positive for marijuana. So that story's been made.
Second test, didn't he pass the second one?
Yes, he passed the second test, which was more comprehensive, apparently. And something like four other fighters on that same card tested positive. So that's unusual, I think. Maybe it is the best thing. We'll know when the appeal goes through. But that's bad news for Tommy Z. But at the same time, I've heard the collective bargaining there with the NFL is looking better and better every day. And they've got an injunction now so that they can go back to training camp. The players can, even though the NFL is appealing it. So we may see less boxers from the NFL because of that. But Tommy Z is probably still going to keep going with it. He's 4-0 now. They don't deem this one a no contest. And also in other news, we have a sad story. The mother of Mickey Ward, who was a big part of the film, fighter, and the actress who played her at the Best Supporting Actress Oscar, the real life mother, just died. So our condolences to the Ward family. Just unfortunate for them, of course. But at the very least, you know, she can say she went out on a very positive note. She had showing in the movie. She obviously was a great character. If the person playing her won the Oscar, it's self-help.
Well, I don't know. The movie didn't play her, portray her in that positive of a life.
Well, I wouldn't say it wasn't positive. I mean, it was, you know, some harsh aspects that were illuminated, but I didn't read much about, there being any complaints on that.
True.
So, if it wasn't real, then it'd be a big stink, you know, if it wasn't really how it happened. And there was some stuff that came out that said, you know, we did embellish a little bit here and there, but I think the only one who was really upset about the portrayal at all was Dickie Eklund. So.
Oh, really?
He was upset about some of the ways they portrayed him during his using days. But after a while, he kind of warmed up to the film and realized that it would benefit other people in the same position, and they would be inspired by it. So it kind of wore off the frustration. But that was the only thing that I've read. You know, it doesn't mean that there wasn't some criticism about everybody else who was portrayed. Dana White is in the news for boxing as well, and MMA. He's supposedly, right after this weekend's UFC 129 card, he's supposedly getting right on a plane to go to Stockton, California, and to meet with Nick Diaz, who we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, because he's planning to go right over into a pro boxing fight for his next fight. And Dana White is now saying he doesn't want that to happen. He's got a little bit of a history in boxing, although mostly as just a coach and practitioner, I guess. I don't know if you could call him an actual boxer. I've never seen an amateur or professional record. I know he doesn't have a professional record, but I've never even seen any amateur record for him. So, and I don't think he's managed fighters, but I could be wrong. I know he's had some experience as a coach, trainer, and a boxercise instructor. But anyway, he's going to sit down with Nick Diaz, and he's going to try to talk him out of going into boxing. Diaz is actually eyeing a fight in the fall now with IBF super middleweight champion Jeff Lacy. And usually when somebody's with the UFC, whether this is going to apply to Strikeforce or not, I don't know, but usually UFC fighters under their contract cannot compete in any other combat sport, any other sport, period. I mean, you saw what happened when people suggested Brock Lesnar was going to go to WrestleMania. That's not even a real sport, really. It's entertainment. I don't know if I'm going to get hate mail for saying that, but I think a lot of people who used to think it was real now know that it's not. But if there's any kids out there listening, that I've spoiled their fun. I'm sorry. But bottom line is, Diaz is still committed to fighting this boxing match. And he did sign a deal with Strikeforce that contained a provision for a single boxing match in 2011. So, I guess he was planning this long in advance. And the way that they did the deal, I guess, Strikeforce, all their contracts have to be upheld. So, what they'll probably be talking about when Diaz and White meet is what the future's going to hold after this boxing. Win or lose, he's going to go right into the UFC once his Strikeforce contract runs out, as far as what I can tell from analyzing the situation. That's what I think that the whole thing is going to be about. He's just going to get right into the UFC. And I actually did get a chance to watch Dana White's video blog, which was kind of funny this week. It was from the week of the Strikeforce event, and just looking at the way he reacted to the Paul Daly versus Nick Diaz MMA fight, you could tell he was really impressed. Kept saying "Holy shit!" over and over again, yelling and screaming, jumping up and down. I mean, he was really impressed. And another funny thing, it was a part of the blog, but they're in the Zuffa offices there. And apparently, when the Strikeforce deal went through, their chief financial officer, a guy named John Mulkey, who I've actually seen his handwriting in a lot of the science paperwork because of the deal with the UFC cans, the UFC logo on the science cans. But he's the CFO, and when the Strikeforce deal went through, he was nowhere to be found. They were looking for him, trying to call him, track him down. Come to find out, he's in North Carolina learning how to race Porsches. So when he was gone, and because they were so pissed that he wasn't there when they needed him, they took everything out of his office, and they put in one of those kids' beds from the movie Cars, and all kinds of little kid accessories, like a little kid's table with an umbrella and folding chairs. So they said, now you can meet people here in this office, and if he wants to be a Porsche racer, this is what he's going to have to deal with. But if you haven't seen that yet, it's worth a watch. As far as boxing, we got another little interesting story. Jackie Callen is going to be doing some writing on boxing now for Boxing Insider. And she's actually been somebody that I interviewed in the past, way back when we were a MySpace page. And it's still a pretty popular interview. It comes up pretty high in the search engines for searches on Jackie Callen. And it was pretty in-depth back then. I used to talk to people for, you know, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and write everything I could remember from the interview and everything I took notes about and get a lot of quotes and do a very thorough job. So that's, you know, one of the reasons why the MySpace page was pretty popular. And not to mention the fact that I had to rebuild it 6 times.
Well, I'll tell you, one advantage of my Facebook was, Facebook has friends. And granted, a person like me is never going to get 5,000 friends anyway. So, I mean, well, actually, I'm a tenth of the way there, so maybe I will. I've been on there for 2.5 years now. I'm a tenth of the way there. So if I stay on there for about another 25 more years, maybe I will get 5,000 friends. But the thing, I know, like, There are times where I tried to add people that I know that are maybe not like big time celebrities, but people that are well known locally, and you can't add them. That's a little annoying because it's hard to, imagine like the avenues that you set up a huge network and you can get a lot of friends and get your work to a lot of people.
Yeah, Facebook's limits are really starting to piss me off. It doesn't really bother me they have a 5,000 friend limit, but, they have all these other restrictions now where, you click on 2 or 3 people that they don't think you know, and they lock your account down for a week or, 2 days or whatever. And it's like, they put these people in the section, people you may know, but then when you click on, add them as a friend, they're like, are you sure you know this person? And if you don't know, then, this person may complain and your account will shut down. Well, let them complain. Don't tell me they might complain and refuse me to, add the person as a friend. It just pisses me off. And then, they have this setup where, you can only like so many people or join so many groups.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. And back when I first got on Facebook, of course, I was joining every group left and right thinking it would help my rankings. And now it's to the point where I can't even like a page because, so I get all these people saying, oh, yeah, if you like us, come over here and click on this. And I can't even...
Does it say something to you like, are you sure you like this page? No. I'm not sure.
Oh, I misunderstood what the word like meant. Another MMA news. We had a big story this week about John Bones Jones. Of course, there was supposed to be a huge fight between him and Rashad Evans. And now John Bones Jones has an issue with his hand. He's got a torn ligament in the area between the thumb and the forefinger there.
I've done that. I know how bad that is.
And I know if you even get a paper cut there, it hurts like a bastard. So that's obviously a very sensitive area. It's been hurting him so bad that he's had trouble just shaking hands with people lately. So he tried to make it just kind of fade into the background and deal with it. He's been dealing with it, I guess, since college. Never got it fixed. But he went around getting second opinions and everybody said the same thing. You got to have surgery or it's just going to get worse.
I'll tell you what happened to me, and I'm going back, 12 and a half years now. I boxed at Lock Haven for 4 years. I played football the 4 years prior to that in high school. I damaged my one knee playing high school football, 300-pound lineman. It fell into me and sprained it, where eventually later, a year or so later, there was some bone spurs in there and all that I had to get surgically removed because it was getting to the point I could barely walk. But that was my worst injury in 8 years of competitive sports. A few bumps and bruises here and there, nothing too major. Now, my eligibility at Lock Haven's up. I can't box for the Haven anymore. It kind of sucks. So I was like, I'm just going to go out and I'll help train with the team and, help train guys and teach them stuff. But I really can't work out with them because there's limited equipment. What am I going to do, man? I'll go to the bar. Well, that's great. Some of my friends just saw how miserable I was. They're like, why don't you join our flag football league with us? We're the defending champs. I said, that sounds great. I'll do it. Join the flag football league and having a good old time. Well, I had hurt my left hand. Not playing football. I had got a splinter and stuck inside of a blood vessel, and it got infected. So the day after going drinking heavily at the bar all night, I go in for this minor surgery and squirting all over the place. So now my hand's all taped up and shit. And they're like, man, you really shouldn't be playing flag football tonight with, your hand. You can't even grip it, your left hand. Doesn't matter. I'm going to play anyway. It's the semifinals, and I want to play. So I play. The third play of the game, I go to grab a guy's flag, and he does a cutback, and he catches my thumb. And literally, it felt like my thumb almost touched my elbow. I just So I get home, and I played the whole game. I couldn't even shake anybody's hand afterwards. I was giving them, giving them forearm taps. So get back to my house, shower up. I'm like, did you go to the hospital? I'm like, no. I go to the bar. I think I just jammed it. I'm like, how did I jam it? You didn't jam it. Look, you got it ripped off. I'm going to the bar. So I go to the bar the next day. My hand in my thumb area is about six times normal size. Killing me. So man, maybe you should go to the doctor's office. I went to the personal trainer. I'm like, dude, I think I jammed it. Like, you didn't jam nothing, man. That looks like it's broken. Hospital. Go to the hospital. Doc does some x-rays. He goes, well, it's not broken. Probably just a sprain, minor sprain. So this swelled up? Yeah. He's, a first-year medical student. Throws a splint on me, sends me on my way. 6 months later, man, it ain't getting better. I'm trying to grip things, and I'm trying to pick up a baseball, and I'm trying to pick up a football, and I can't do it. I was like, damn. And so I went to my doctor. He's like, no, because that was definitely, it wasn't broken, obviously, because that definitely wasn't no minor sprain either. He's like, I want you to go to a hand specialist. This is 6 months after it happened. I walk in a hand specialist, still swollen like you wouldn't believe. He just takes my thumb and bends it a little bit. He goes, you tore all your ligaments in that thumb. I'm like, well, what do I do for it now? He goes, 6 months later, he goes, you're already about 50% healed. He goes, why do surgery now? It'll take you just as long to recover. I'm like, oh. I couldn't even box or hit the pads, or especially spar, for 18 months after the injury happened. It happened in October of 98, and I did not start boxing again until about maybe March of
Michael. great. So being mighty slow tonight. Well, we're waiting to connect with him. I know that good news for you, I guess, being a Flyers fan. Here, you like that?
What? Hi, this is Bobby.
Finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yep.
To send a fax, press 4 now. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hello? That's a voicemail, dude.
Bobby?
No, it's his voicemail.
Oh. That was weird. Sounded like him, didn't it?
Well, yeah, he said, hey, this is Bobby. Then we kind of blacked out for a minute. So, I mean, maybe you guess you want to hang up the line with him so you don't leave him a 5-minute voicemail and try to call him back in a few minutes.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Go to the next thing.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with this phone system being slow tonight. All right, well, we'll give him the 5-minute warning. We'll try it again. What I was trying to say before we connected there, the story about Donald Brashear, the hockey enforcer, has started to gain some legs. He's actually talking about dropping the gloves for good. No more hockey. Just going MMA.
Really?
Yeah. He signed with a new Canadian MMA promotion to take a stab at an MMA career.
Well, I mean, I got to say how good the balance is. I mean, you said he always fought while standing on skates. So, I mean, he could punch while definitely not having the greatest footing. But his one disadvantage is going to be how to most toxic fighter fight. Pull a shirt over the head and just wail away, which will not work in a MMA type of environment.
Right, yeah, they don't wear any kind of baggy clothing for them in the day, so.
Exactly.
They wear shirts, so that's going to be tough to do in the old-fashioned way, in the hockey methodology. But, you know, what's more important is how you throw a punch. He's got plenty of experience with that. And, you know, obviously it's not going to be an easy transition. He's not just going to fall right into place. It's going to take some time for him to figure out the other moves and how to kick and do takedowns and submissions and all that stuff. So I doubt they're going to throw him to the wolves right away and put him up against the best of the best. But it is interesting. On another front, I heard that Bautista, the other wrestler that was considering coming over to MMA, just had his deal killed because of the Strikeforce-UFC merger, or buyout, whatever you want to call it. Somebody tracked him down at the airport and asked him about it, and he said flat out he's real disappointed about the UFC and Strikeforce merger putting into his potential deal to go into Strikeforce. So, but I don't know if that means that he's not at all ever going to be going to MMA, but it's definitely not going to be in the strike force anytime soon. So, we're not going to see another Brock Lesnar success story in that area, anyway. Another guy that's making the news for his wrestling background, Rulon Gardner, was a leading contender on this season's edition of The Biggest Loser, and his weight had gotten up to 474 pounds after he retired from wrestling. And he went on the show, he said, to get his life back and his health back, and he accomplished that goal and then just left the show.
Wow.
So now he's talking about considering a return to competitive wrestling. And ironically, he operates a fitness center in Wyoming. So NBC came out and issued a statement saying Rulon chose to leave the show for personal reasons and we respect his wishes. He dropped 188 pounds during the 17 weeks on the show, which began taping last year. And he says he weighed the same amount that he weighs now when he cut the gold at the Summer Games in Australia. He was a member of the 2000 U.S. Olympic Greco-Roman wrestling team in Sydney. And at that point, he scored an upset over Russia's undefeated world champion, Alexander Karelin. And last weekend, he was at the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs working with the wrestlers out there. So, there you go. He's had a couple other brushes with death, too. This is interesting. I never heard this. He made headlines in 2007 when he survived a single-engine plane crash in Lake Powell on the Utah-Arizona border. And in 2002, he nearly died from exposure after a snowmobile got stuck in the frozen backwoods of Wyoming. So... he's no stranger to the drama, I guess. In other news, we have another court battle brewing for the UFC. Fans of Spider-Man and Chewbacca are going toe-to-toe with MMA. The Toronto-based organizer of Fan Expo Canada filed documents in federal court seeking an injunction to block UFC's U.S. parent company Zuffa LLC and U.K. event operator Reed Exhibitions from using the name UFC Fan Expo and the slogan "The Ultimate Fan Experience" for their event in Toronto this weekend. Hobby Star Marketing argues that the name UFC Fan Expo is confusingly similar to Fan Expo Canada, and that its use infringes on the company's exclusive rights in Canada and lowers the value of its trademark. So, doesn't seem like a big deal type of fight, but trademarks are always pretty contentious issues. And it's pretty straightforward law. There's a lot of trademark arguments used in cases that have defamation crossover, so I've become familiar with a lot of that law over the years, and actually one of the most recent stories on ZionSucks.com is about Blue Palm, Zion's flavor, getting some flack from the company Palm Wonderful, and they sued, and I've heard they recently settled that case. Because if you think about it, you know, Palm Wonderful has patented the word palm for as short for pomegranate. And if you look at it in a manner of like Coke, Coke's got the word Coke patented. So if you came out with a drink called Blue Coke and tried to make it look like something different, obviously it's not going to fly with Coke, so... that's the way I looked at that situation, and it seems pretty smart of science to settle that case. I don't know what the figures were or whatever the deal was, but I don't think we're going to see Blue Palm anymore as a flavor for Zenergy. One more news piece on the UFC. Let's see, I have more than one, but there's a little interesting story about the Ultimate Fighting Championship is now seeking job applications online through Jobby.com, J-O-D-D-I.com. And not just, these aren't staff for the UFC job applications, these are for fighters. So now it's not just getting through the Ultimate Fighter or getting recognized on a smaller show. Now you can break in into the Ultimate Fighter, Ultimate Fighting Championships by submitting an online application, believe it or not. And they'll consider the fighters based on their applications and popularity, and they'll be hiring them on an ongoing basis. And another sort of weird story about UFC fighter PJ Penn. He was supposed to tour a Spam museum in Austin. And he was supposed to go there with his brother and his cousin. And he was in town for a training academy over the weekend. And then his trip to the Spam museum was cut short when he learned his flight to Toronto was a day earlier than he anticipated for this weekend show. And apparently, I don't understand why this is big news, but it's at the AustinDailyHerald.com that he had to cut his trip short to the Spam Museum. And Hawaii, I guess, is a big fan of the Spam. So, it's not the Spam as an email Spam, of course, but the actual food Spam. They have a museum apparently in Texas, and since it's such a big deal in Hawaii, where Penn is from, I guess it was a big deal for him to miss his chance to go to the museum. But it's sort of a weird story. I'll mention. Well, let's try to get Bobby back on the phone. One more time. Might be going through the last minute steps to get his fighters ready for this weekend for all we know.
Hi, this is Bobby. Please leave a message.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To send a fax, press 4 now. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hey, Bobby, this is Rich from Fight News Unlimited. We're trying to get in touch with you for the show. We're going to try you back in about 5 minutes, about 10 minutes to 9, your time. And if we don't get you, I guess we'll catch up with you later. It's unfortunate. We were hoping for a good interview tonight. And if we don't talk to you, good luck this weekend at the big event. And we'll plug it for you anyway. But we'll try you back in a few minutes. Hopefully we'll be able to connect. So there you go. Bobby's out of touch here. You know, he sent me an email last night saying, is it tonight or tomorrow? I let him know it was today, so he should know about it. What can you do? But just to let everybody know, this is Saturday. You know, we talked about it a lot last weekend, or last week on the show, but this Saturday in Boston at the Castle, at the Park Plaza Hotel, there's going to be a whole bunch of boxing matches. Mostly between the FDNY boxing team and local law enforcement there in the New England area, and also firefighters there in New England. And it's shaping up to be a pretty big event. They just had a promo I put on Fight News Unlimited. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, Tony, but they brought Vinny Paz out to talk about it with Edwin Rodriguez. And Vinny Paz was there. He's going to be the VIP co-host for the VIP party. That's going to take place from 5 to 7 before the event. You had to pay like $100, I think, for that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, big wig. I would pay it if I had it. But if I was in town, I wouldn't have to pay it. I'd just be in invited in because I did all the work on the website. But I'm still out of here in Vegas, of course, so it's not going to be an event I'm going to get to see unless they keep it. But, hey, what can you do? We also have, of course, this weekend is the big UFC event. And I don't know if they bothered to figure out that was going to be an issue or not for the Battle of the Bands 3, whether people were going to be put off on buying tickets because they were going to, they wanted to go home and watch the UFC. But, so I would think it's a completely different demographic, but sometimes there's a lot of crossover. Hopefully that doesn't hurt their chances of getting live fans at the last minute. But we're pulling for them to have a good event, and obviously it's for a good charity for the David Rodriguez Foundation for Kids with Developmental Disabilities. So if you want to learn more about it, just go to battleofthebadges.info and check out the promo on our site, Vikings Unlimited. And you can see all the stuff there about it. One of the big pieces of news this weekend on the UFC card, we have what could be Randy Couture's last professional fight with Lyoto Machida. So a lot of fans are going to be watching to see that. And apparently Dana White doesn't believe that Randy's really going to retire. I think a lot of fans are probably in the same category of disbelief. I mean, the guy is 48 years old, I think, now. So he's got every reason to call it a career. He's had a great one. But at the same time, he does seem like he has a lot left if he wants to keep going. And I know I said it, probably not first, but as soon as the Strike Force deal went through, I started talking a lot about Randy Couture versus Fedor. And apparently somebody finally asked him about that possibility, and he played it off and said he doesn't see it happening. So that leads me to believe he really is serious about retiring, and there isn't much incentive for him to even fight a guy like that that he could easily beat, I think. But you never know. You know, maybe he's just playing it off because he knows that that it'll help him get the fight, because maybe Fedor will find out about it and say, hey, wait a second, it isn't impossible. But a lot more people are talking about it now, so I think that's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens. But the big showdown is going to be with George St. Pierre and Jake Shields, and this is one that I wouldn't want to have the job of trying to predict. Even though I've done pretty well predicting a lot of UFC fights over the years here. Especially the last predictions that I made were almost spot on, all correct. So that was kind of cool. But this one, I would not want to handicap. It's just too close to call. I want to say George St. Pierre, just because, he's number two, or some say number one on the pound-for-pound list. And Jake Shields, although he's got quite an undefeated streak going, hasn't fought the same caliber of fighters that George St. Pierre's fought recently, anyway. But at the same time, George St. Pierre hasn't lost to Matt Serra, who wasn't that phenomenal of a fighter, didn't have that great a record when they fought, and he lost to him by TKO. So anything can happen. And he also had trouble with Matt Hughes at one point. Lost to him in 2004. So there's only two losses. Matt, he doesn't have good luck with Matts. The wrestling Matts. But he's avenged both those losses since then. He's working with Freddie Roach on his boxing. And he's got phenomenal wrestling himself. And the one thing he worries about, and he gives a lot of respect to George St. Pierre for, Jake Shields for, is the grappling ability and King Shields and the submissions, the jiu-jitsu. So I think it's going to be a really good match. Could go all five rounds. Knowing these guys, neither one of them are going to tap easily anyway. So I don't think it's going to be any kind of a surprise first round knockout or submission or anything like that. I think it's going to go at least three rounds. And it's going to be a war. It's going to be worth paying the pay-per-view money for, even though I'm not going to be I'm watching for free, that's for sure. That's one definite, that's, I can say. There's also going to be a featherweight championship on the line. We're finally going to get to see Jose Aldo's debut in the UFC against Mark Hominick. And that should be a good fight. Jose is the number one featherweight, obviously, the champ, and Hominick is ranked number three in featherweights. And as we mentioned, we got Randy Couture versus Lyoto Machida. Also on the card, we got Ben Henderson versus Mark Bocek, Vladimir Machushenko versus Jason Brills, Rory McDonald versus Nick Diaz, the little brother of Nick Diaz. We got Kyle Watson versus John McDuffie, Sean Pearson versus Jake Ellenberger, Pablo Garza versus Eve Chubwin, Ivan Menjivar versus Charlie Valencia, Claude Patrick versus Daniel Roberts, and Jason McDonald versus Ryan Jensen. And I think this fight's going to be pretty significant, you know, the whole fight card, I mean, because I think it's actually going to set a record for most people to attend an MMA fight. I'm not 100% positive on that, but I think I read that somewhere, because there's this seating limit of like 55,000 in the stadium, and they sold out pretty quickly. And it's going to be in Toronto. They're also talking about now having a fight sometime at the end of 2011 in Cowboy Stadium with Joy. So they're trying to pinpoint Cain Velasquez's comeback date for around one of those shows. And they don't know whether it's going to be against Brock Lesnar or Junior Dos Santos, but if it's against Brock Lesnar, getting a rematch there, that's going to be pretty significant, because not only will they get the attendance at the stadium, but they'll also get the pay-per-view draws that they traditionally get out of him. And Brock actually made the news recently because he turned out to be the highest paid MMA player, MMA fighter, I should say, last year. And it was had a lot to do with his pay-per-view draws, because they get a certain bonus for how many pay-per-view draws that they get for them for the fights. So other than that, I don't know. We'll try to hook up with Bobby one more time, and I guess we'll have to go through the boxing schedule for the week. Did you get a chance to watch any boxing this last weekend?
I don't remember what I did when I told you. I did not get to see it. My dad filled me in on it. It was the fight between Yanni Perez and Victor Kimian, the human praying mantis, or the human crab, or what do you call
him? I call him the praying mantis, yeah.
Okay, I knew somebody called him. Okay, that was you then. I used to call him the human crab, because he was, you know, he fought like a crab and he had the personality to boot. But from what I heard, Darchinia really took it to Perez. I mean, really took it to him. Was giving him a pretty good butt whipping. You know, I think he knocked him down. He had him hurt. Then there was a clash of heads that opened the cut, and they went to the scorecards, and Darchinia didn't won every round, and you know, got the decision. As my father was saying, he said if it did not, you know, get stopped on a technical decision, Darchinia only would have, it would have only taken him a few more rounds, and he would have stopped Perez. The other fight that was supposed to be on the card, which was the one that I really would have liked to have seen, Abner Mares, former Olympian, versus Joseph Abetko. Unfortunately, Mares was having some trouble with his sciatic nerve, and they had to postpone that fight. That was really it. On Saturday night, I really didn't have a chance to. There really wasn't, you know, much else on. Unfortunately, I know there was a Friday night fight on, but they were not starting until 11 o'clock, and I had to be at work the next day early. So I knew if I would have downed my caffeine and stayed up and watched the fights, I would have been, you know, I would have been more useless than usual on my Saturday morning work shifts.
It's kind of cool that Darcini did get the chance to be the main event, because apparently there was some controversy in the previous tournament fight where he thought he had won the fight, and there was a big fight in the training room and everything. They had it on the behind-the-scenes video that I saw where Gary Shaw was up in arms and screaming with him, and they were blaming the judges for screwing up the decision. So he got to be the main event, even though it wasn't for the championship. And they're now, I guess, trying to call out Beko for their next fight. So they want to skip right over Mahrez now. Anyway, let's give Bobby a shout one more time. See if we can connect with him. And we got Luke scheduled for 9:15. Bobby, now we'll fill the time with something.
Hi, this is Bobby. Please leave a message.
I guess. Yeah. Not for me the first time. Interview actually is still on Battle of the Badges.info too. I'm not sure if it's still on the first page, but it's there. You should look for it. And he talks a lot about what's going on there. And as Dennis actually mentioned last week on the show, he's been real busy with the police and fire games too. So it's probably quite a bit of distractions going on, getting ready for the show, dealing with all this stuff. Crunch time.
Knowing myself, 2 days before a big show like that, you wouldn't be able to, you know, even look at me the wrong way, because I'd be getting so fired up.
Well, we definitely have a lot of boxing matches probably to talk about. Haven't really been keeping up on what's going on in the boxing world enough lately, but I do know that there's a pretty interesting matchup tomorrow night at the Cosmopolitan. They're bringing back the guy that had that controversial draw with Arislandi Lara at the last event there at the Cosmopolitan, Carlos Molina. And he's facing a very different opponent this time out. So, I don't understand why they wouldn't just do that rematch. I guess Lara probably wanted no part of those body shots. That was his secret weapon, I guess you could say, for Molina. He's hitting him pretty hard. But let me just get this up here, and I'll tell you who's fighting next. I never heard why, but I guess for whatever happened, I don't know. But, the original fight was supposed to involve one of the Peterson brothers there, but I scratched that for some reason. So it's going to be Carlos Molina versus Alan Conyers. And also, there's a couple other guys on the card. Some interesting records. We got Highland Williams Jr., who's 13-0 with 3 knockouts. He's going to be facing Marcos Herrera, who's 6-4-1 with 2 knockouts. Tim the Pitbull Coleman, 18-1. Sergio Rivera, 16-6-2 with 10 knockouts. And then the guy that fought on the way, way undercard last time, Vincenzo Bartholomew, is 11-0 with 9 knockouts. We'll take on Rynell Griffin, 6-4-11 with 2 knockouts in this featherweight 8-round fight. And also we have Sergey Kovalev, who's 13-0 with 11 knockouts, fighting Terrence Woods, 8-1 with 6 knockouts. And that's, doesn't say how many rounds that's going to be. 8 rounds, I guess. And there's also a light heavyweight 8-rounder with Evgeny Gradovich. 9-0 with 6 knockouts, fighting Alan Martinez, who's 9-0 with 5 knockouts and 1 draw. So that's pretty evenly matched. So I'm going to be reporting live from ringside. Now the first fight is at 5. Must be for the camera crew, since it's on the west here, west timing. I'm going to get it in the can early. So that should be an interesting show. Let's find out on Box Check here what else we got coming up. Other than the big UFC fights this weekend, of course, we got a whole lot of other matchups going on across the country. Tonight, actually, there's a big M1 event, M1 Challenge 25 in Russia. We got Japan getting in the mix tomorrow night. This Shooto Tradition 2011. And there's actually a Las Vegas fight tomorrow night I wasn't aware of. Tropical Storm. The Las Vegas Hilton. It's going to be missing mixed martial arts for the Friday night fights. Except there's only 2 fights on this card. Hilton. Las Vegas Hilton. Just my computer is taking forever. Let's see what else I got. Also, I get to watch The Ultimate Fighter, latest episode, just before I got on the air tonight. And it was a good show. It was probably a better first round than the fight at the end. Second round. Both guys looked a little bit tired. The fight was, I think, more tired. And he still ended up winning. And unfortunately, in the win, he broke his pinky so bad the bone was sticking out.
How?
It looked bad. And he just looked at on the opposite side where you couldn't see the bone sticking out. It just looked like it was all just bent in 3 different ways. They call it a compound fracture when that happens. So, you know, he wins, and it's Brock Lesnar's team's first win in a while, and he can't even do anything with it. That's going to put him out for a while, I'm sure. And it looks like next week they're going to have some more problems with injuries. So, that's unfortunate. It's been a show with some high turnover this year. They had one guy leave because he wanted to go back to see his family. He couldn't handle being away from his family. Another guy had a knee injury already. So this is not good for the Brock Lesnar's team anyway. But also this weekend we have King of the Cage. That's actually tomorrow night. Columbia, Canada. British Columbia, Canada. Alaska cage fighting. Falling apart in Fairbanks, Alaska tomorrow night. Rumble at the Rodeo tomorrow in Baton Rouge, Fort Louise, Louisiana. What is it? Which one is it? Oh, it's at the Baton Rouge, West Baton Rouge Multi-Use Arena in Port Allen, Louisiana. Sorry. Oh, and we got some people stealing the Battle of the Badgers 3 Thunder in the MMA area. We got police and firefighters, Cage Fights 4 in Sheridan, Colorado. So if you're in that area, you can go check that out. And see an MMA Battle of the Badgers, I guess. And then the Watch Out Combat Show is going on tomorrow in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Crowbar MMA, that doesn't sound like a good thing. Crowbar MMA is having Spring Brawl 2 in Salem, New Hampshire, up at Rockingham Park is going to have an event. CZ37 kicking it at the Rock. And of course, we have UFC 129 tomorrow, but there's also a whole bunch of other MMA events. There's the main event, KJFX, our friends up there in the Massachusetts area. They're going to have a fight in Maine. And they also just came out recently with a story about doing the first sanctioned Muay Thai event in Massachusetts, so I'm sure that's going to be interesting. But the main event is Saturday, same night as the Battle of the Badgers there, but up in Maine, so it shouldn't draw too many fans away. And also tomorrow night, actually Saturday night, Monson versus Parak in Geneva, Switzerland. Brace for War 8 in Brisbane, Australia. Cage Contender 9 in Belfast, Northern Ireland. We've got Shuriken MMA Armageddon in Auckland, New Zealand. Let's see what else. Vengeance SNS 4 in Northamptonshire, England. Shogun Fights 4 in Baltimore, Maryland. Yankee Lake Brawl Room 28 in Brookfield, Ohio. Campus Cage Fights in Alamosa, Colorado. Rumble in the Lake at Warsaw, Indiana at the National Guard Armory. Best of the Beast, Best of the Best, I should say. Cage Time 3 in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. MMA Fights versus Fraternity Brawls. I don't know where they get these names. From Milledgeville, Georgia. I was almost going to say Midgetville. Milledgeville in Georgia. MMA Fights versus Fraternity Brawls. I don't know what the deal with that is. That sounds funny. Fight Night 3 in St. Louis, Missouri. Locked and Loaded in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Primetime MMA Annihilation in Burnsville, Minnesota. I just lost it. Burnsville, Minnesota. Right. Shoot and Sprawl 3 in Northamptonshire, England. Sprawl and Brawl at Edgbaston, Birmingham, England. Proving Ground MMA Series 5 from Akron, Ohio. And that's it till Sunday. And we have SWAT SB R times 3, whatever that means, in Tokyo. Long Beach Fight Night 12 in Long Beach, California. And Warriors from Surrey, England. And now, finally, we can go to BoxRec. Let's open it up. So we got here on the first page. Well, we do have a fight up in Reno tomorrow night. It looks pretty good. It's going to be on Telefutura. Yeah, main event. This is the Terry and Tommy Lane. Let's get it on promotions. They're involved in this up in Reno. They're Mills Lane's kids. Let's get it on. Of course, comes from him. Richard Schaefer and Golden Boy Promotions is also a co-promoter. And we have the main event, Peter Quillen at super middleweight. He's 23-0 with 17 knockouts, fighting Jesse Brinkley of the Contender fame. He's 35-6 with 22 knockouts.
Brinkley's coming off that stoppage loss to Lucian Bute. Brinkley, you know, he's a hard guy to figure out. I remember this fight before the BK fight, and of course I'm forgetting his opponent there. So they're like, oh my God, Brinkley's, if this fight goes more than a round, that'll be a major upset. Brinkley's going to get killed. He gets stunned with the first punch, and then proceeds to kick the living shit out of the guy for the next, like, 11 and a half rounds. I've watched Brinkley swimming back in his contender days. You know, he's just one of those guys hard to figure out. He's got good power in his right hand. He's not particularly fast. Doesn't really have good defense. He's got a decent chin, not a great one, but he can be hurt to the body. I remember not just his fight with Bute, but fight before that. I think it was Joey Spina, I believe it was, and Brinkley was beating him, and then he got hit with a body shot, and that pretty much folded him. Bute pretty much, caved him in with a body shot. Brinkley's a guy, like, that's, I think, the way to beat him. Use speed and, go to the body. Brinkley dished out a pretty good beating to Joey Gilbert. Was not expected to win that fight and broke Gilbert's nose and beat him up pretty good. So, like I said, he's a hard guy to figure out, and if you don't come in ready for a tough fight, you know, you're definitely underestimating him.
Right. Well, we have some other title fights on tack for Saturday. We got the IBF light flyweight title between Luis Alberto Lazarte, 48-9 with 18 knockouts, 2 draws. In Argentina, this fight's going to happen Saturday. He's fighting Ulysses Solis, who's 32-2 with 21 knockouts, 3 draws. Also in that card, Gonzalo Omar Basile, who's 49-5 with 23 knockouts at heavyweight, fighting Manuel Alberto Pucheta, who's 34-5 with 27 knockouts. So those two should be good top card fights there. And we got some lighter guys fighting for titles down in Mexico. We got the mismatch of the week and a title fight. Super featherweight 12-rounder between Miguel Roman, who's 33-8 with 25 knockouts, fighting Hugo Salas, who's 4-1 for the vacant WBC FECOM Box super featherweight title. Oh, boy. And we got... another fight in Mexico put on by Golden Boy between light flyweight Gilberto Cabas, who's 35-20 with 22 knockouts, fighting Adrian Hernandez, who's 20-1 with 12 knockouts and one draw. That's for the WBC light flyweight title. Minimum weight titles on the line. Raul Garcia, 29-1, and Ramon Asenio, who's 20-2. So the WBO minimum weight title there. Also, the WBO light flyweight title is going to be on the line there between Jesus Teles, who's 12-1, 5 knockouts, and Ramon Garcia Herales, who's 15-2. And Bobby McGuire just trying to call back. Unfortunately, we have another guest that's supposed to be on here in 2 seconds, so we're going to have to just let that one go. Let's see. Over in London, we have the vacant EBU middleweight title on the line between Darren Barker, 22-0, 14 knockouts, and Domenico Spada, who's 32-3 with 16 knockouts. It's also on Saturday. The USA West Virginia state heavyweight title is on the line between Mike Shepard, 17-12, 9 knockouts, 1 draw, and Bobby Thomas Jr., 10-1 with 7 knockouts. It's on Saturday in West Virginia. Big state title. That's it until Sunday. Not much going on then. So let's get Luke Carpillo on the phone. Little Hulk. Have to ask him where he got that nickname.
That's awesome.
He paints himself green.
That's awesome. Paint myself green.
I guess as a Skype contact, and apparently you can't call people on Skype unless they accept your friend request. Now, an issue like Facebook giving us trouble here. But we'll get that straight. And we'll just add his number instead of his Facebook or his Skype number. Put this regular number in there. See if that works.
Yeah, this is Luke. Leave me a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Yeah, we're having some bad luck tonight, man.
Please record your message.
Hey.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hey, Luke, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron from Fight News Unlimited. We're trying to get in touch with you for an interview here. We had scheduled for 8:15 Eastern, or 9:15 Eastern, sorry. And we'll give you a try back in a couple minutes, and hopefully we'll be able to get you and talk to you about your upcoming fight there. And like I said, we'll just try you back, and hopefully we can connect. Talk to you later. Bye. So I guess we'll at least get Bobby McGuire back if we can't get Luke in 5 minutes. So we'll salvage one of these interviews anyway, hopefully. Let me just look up Luke's record while we're waiting for him so we can at least talk about his background. See if we can figure out.
I wouldn't tell people not to call you between 8 and 10 on Thursdays, and they do anyway.
Luke Cardillo, he's 16-16. 18-500, so his next fight's going to either put him over the top or put him under. Let's see. Little Hulk, he's got 10 knockouts. What? Fights out of the Miletich Fighting Systems there. He's from North Platte, Nebraska. His last fight was a loss to Sean Wilson in Ring of Fire 37. He's fought in a few Ring of Fire shows the last few years, going back to, I think, 2007 at least. Nope, all the way back to 2003 he's fought in that circuit. He also fought in Midwest Championship Fighting back in February of 2010. He won against Jordan Eagley by submission in that fight. He had six straight losses before a tough patch there, including a loss to Marcus Aurelio in his last UFC fight, UFC 78 Validation, which actually I was there for. So I've seen him fight, ironically. The one UFC card I went to, I probably don't remember because it was so quick, happened at 4:29 of the first round. Actually, I think that was the fight that I walked in on. And that's why I didn't see it. I just kind of walked in the arena and that fight was just ending. So I do remember that slightly. But Luke's been around. He had that last fight at UFC 78. But other than that, he's been fighting in the Midwest Championship Fighting League, like I said, Ring of Fire. He's also been on the VFC circuit, whatever that stands for. I don't know, probably Victory Fighting. IFC Rumble on the River, he was involved in 2006. Rumble in the Rockies also in 2006. And that's about it. Iowa Winter Warriors is where he made his debut against Brock Larson. Lost by key lock submission at debut. Got some pretty interesting names on his record. Most of the big names, unfortunately, had losses too. But he's strung together quite a few wins here and there. Anyway, let's give him one last shot, and then if we don't get him, we'll hook up with Bobby McGuire. Sure, he's probably available now.
Rich, I'm going to grab a drink.
Hello.
Luke.
Yes.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
This is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron from Fight News Unlimited.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Great. You got a fight coming up, right? So just...
That's correct.
Start right off with that. What's it all about? Who are you fighting? What do you know about him? And tell us a little bit about the promotion, too.
Well, you know, I'm fighting for a Fight to Win promotion here in Denver, Colorado. My opponent is Steve Venieri. He's a local wrestler, from what I understand. Good, good wrestler, you know. But, you know, he's facing me, you know. So I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. I'm a wrestler myself, you know.
Yeah. And this is your first time fighting for this show?
Yeah, it's the first time ever fighting for Seth. It's Fight to Win promotion. I've been to a lot of his shows and cornered a lot of guys on his shows. I like the way he does things. So I was actually kind of excited to fight for him.
Cool. And how did you first get into fighting in general?
Man, you know, I'm a Nebraska kid. Just started out in a local gym. I ran a supplement business in Nebraska, North Platte, and I was selling proteins and creatines to a bunch of these guys that were doing jiu-jitsu and, you know, this stuff called cage fighting, you know. So they asked me, hey, come in and show some wrestling takedowns. And I did, and I was getting jacked up. And 3 months later, I got hooked into it, you know. I was taking my first fight, and it was, been doing it ever since then.
Cool. And what would you say is your ultimate goal in the sport?
You know, my ultimate goal is, I mean, a lot of my goals have been, I have reached a lot of my goals. But honestly, like, now in this career, late in my career, the main thing I want to do is I'm fighting because I want to fight, and because I'm on my terms. I don't want to fight for anybody. I'm just fighting because it's fun for me, and I like to compete, and I'm hungry again, you know. I'm hungry to fight, and for me to get back in the UFC would be my goal right now. Is for me to get back in the UFC to show them that you know I am a legit fighter and I do belong back in there.
Hi, this is Richard co-host Tony. I was out of the room when he got you on the line. I wanted to talk to you. You said you were talking about some of your background. You talked a little bit about your wrestling background. I wanted to get into that a little bit.
Okay.
Just talking about that, where you competed at, and, you know, some of the weight divisions that you competed in, and, you know, how you feel that, you know, is an advantage, you know, in your fight career.
Yeah, I mean, you know, wrestling is always a good base to have, you know, especially in the mixed martial arts. You know, I'm just in Nebraska. You know, I was a high school four-time state state champion qualifier. I did Nebraska national team. I was put on the Nebraska national team, Greco-Roman and freestyle team, you know. So, I mean, my wrestling was good. I had scholarships to go wrestle. I just decided that I didn't want to do it anymore, and it got me into fighting, apparently, you know, because I missed competing. So, my wrestling is good. You know, I wrestle. I train here with the Team Grudge, and they bring a lot of UNC wrestlers in, and I roll with them. And so, it's good. You know, I bet I can still go with the guys that are still active in college, including, you know, the All-Americans.
Yeah, and like part of the reason that I was talking about that was where I went to school in central Pennsylvania, not far from Penn State, was like a wrestling hotbed. For a Division III school, I mean, we had a top-ranked wrestling team. You know, I know we had probably our most famous wrestler that ever come out of there was Carrie Collot, who went to the 2000 Olympics. And our boxing coach there, because I boxed for the Lock Haven University, he had ties with wrestling. He was a former wrestling coach. So he used to a lot of times bring the boxing team to the wrestling team's practice just to see – just their style of training and the intensity of it. And I know some of the wrestlers were the ones that helped teach me on how to cut weight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I was lucky when I wrestled. I had my senior year at 171 when I weighed 155 pounds going into that year. So
yeah.
I didn't have to cut weight at all. I actually had to gain weight for one of my fights when they wanted to bump me up to 189, which was probably my worst experience ever on the wrestling mat. I ended up against a kid who was like a five-time state champ. Well, four-time, maybe. Three-time, I think, at that point. But he ended up going out to the championship that year. And they said, just stay off your mat. Don't get pinned, you know. And, of course, 30 seconds later, I'm laid out. But I had an 8-2 record at 171. He did all right.
Easier said than done, right?
Yeah, right. But it was a great experience, and there were some of the definitely the most difficult workouts to get through
I think wrestling makes a man out of you, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
The one thing I can always compare wrestling and boxing and now with the onset of mixed martial arts. Cage fighting, things like that. There are a lot of sports that I played, you know, growing up that I really enjoyed. I liked playing football. There are other sports that I pretty much, you know, just watch, baseball, hockey, sports like that. But it's the one-on-one aspect of sports like wrestling, boxing. So it's like when you were playing football, if you were having a bad game, you could kind of hide behind a teammate. You know, I played on the line. So if I was having a bad game, I had a teammate that, you know, would slide over, help me out, or we reverse sides that we were playing on, or you can come out and get replaced. You can't do that in a one-on-one sport. So it's all the odds and all the pressure on you, and that's how I thrived. I mean, that's what I loved about it. And Tex Cobb, you know, the former boxer who turned actor, the one thing he said, you know, about other sports, you just make a mistake in tennis, it's love 15. Make a mistake in boxing, it's your ass.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely, and you can't blame nobody but yourself when it goes down not the way you want it to, you know?
Exactly.
As a wrestler, obviously, you have that strength, but do you have any favorite submissions or favorite strike that you like as well?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you have any favorite submissions that you try to go for a lot, or do you have a strike that you like?
You know, my submission game, it's there. You know, like I'm known for me doing knockouts, ground and pound. I've been really working on my jiu-jitsu, though. I definitely like the dark choke now. It's became a little bit of one of my favorite chokes, you know. So I definitely like the dark choke.
Cool. And as far as fighters out there that you're a fan of, who out there is your favorite fighter, and what do you like most about?
I definitely have to. I mean, I got a room full of guys that I always love. You know, I got, you know, Dwayne Bang Ludwig. You know, he's been the one that's got me through my career, helped me, inspired me, kept me going when I didn't really want to continue anymore. You know, and he just kind of finds the fire to push me through. Also, Nate Marquardt is one of the best guys out there, and just how humble he is. He keeps everything honest and keeps it real. That so. But outside of my camp, I definitely would have to say Rampage Jackson. I like that guy. That guy cracks me up.
And what's going on with him? Is he got a fight coming up or what?
I believe so. I see on Twitter he be training his butt off. So I think he got something coming up. I don't know who his opponent is, but I know he's hit the gym.
Yeah, last time I saw him actually was in an interview on Inside MMA where he was talking about Tito Ortiz giving him the treatment there when they were in training camp. I guess they had a little friendly feud there. Tito went to practice without his underwear on and put the balls in his face.
Oh, God, yeah, that'd be him. That'd be him.
Yeah, so I just stay back to Rampage. So,
Yeah.
That was a funny story. And I haven't heard much about him. He's been kind of in the background lately.
Yeah. I guess he usually makes a splash, so he will.
Right. So, as far as getting back into the UFC, have you been trying to meet with anybody over there, or is that just something you're
going to... I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You're kind of scrambly.
Have you been trying to meet with anybody over at the UFC to try to get back in there, or...
You know, this will be my first fight in a year. I had wrist surgery, and it was supposed to take 4 months, 5 months to heal, and it's been a whole year to take my get my wrist still, you know, not even 100%, but it's good enough to go. And so, you know, that's been kind of my weight of me not fighting for a year. And so this is my comeback fight, and, you know, taking it May 14th, and then we'll just take it from there, you know, and we'll let the managers take over there, and hopefully I make a highlight reel to send it over to Joe Silva, and he says, come on back, you know, so.
Yeah, they just finished talking about a while back on the show that they're now accepting job applications online for fighters. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's a website called jobby.com, J-O-B-B-I.com. So.
Yeah, I just read about that, too, and I was like, wow, that's nuts. I mean, that just shows you how big MMA's blown up, you know, right there.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting to the point where it's almost at least every other week they're having a show, on average. So
yeah.
It's definitely encouraging. And I think... Bellator does it literally every week. They have something going on. And they're now the number two promotion if you look at demographics, I think. So it's only going to get better from there.
Yeah, for sure.
So what do you think about the pay scale? What do you think about the pay scale in MMA? Are you happy with what you typically get paid for a fight and all that?
As far as the pay scale, I mean, it's always going to be lowballed, you know, especially now that it's kind of like a monopoly right now. But, you know, I always would like to see the fighters' pay scale get up. I mean, look how much cross-training we do, you know, in mixed martial arts and compared to boxing. You know what I mean? Like, boxing is just one of my practices, you know, one of three in a day. And all they have to do is practice in condition, boxing condition, you know. So I would definitely would like to see the pay scale go up, you know. I mean, even for local guys, you know, local shows. I know the promoters, you know, they're making a good money off of us fighters, you know. I definitely would like to see the fighters come out a little bit better. We're the ones going in there entertaining, you know, the crowd.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely, you know, or kick out a little bit more sponsorship money out with the show, you know, would be nice.
Yeah, for sure. Now, is there anybody that you look up to as a role model or that either inside or outside the sport?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is anybody that you look up to as a role model either inside or outside the sport that's helped you out a lot over the years?
You know, I mean, my role model has been my whole entire family, you know, like anywhere from my oldest brother to my father, you know, let alone my mother always telling me not to do this stuff, but she's still a role model to me, you know. So, you know, I definitely have to say that, you know, my older brother and my father have been, you know, the ones that always kept me on track and always played me in sports, you know, always kept me active, you know, because there's a lot of kids out there that don't have someone pushing them, you know, or buy them new shoes to go play this new sport, you know. So those are my role models. And I go out there and I fight and I try to make them proud, you know, for them, you know.
Yeah, do you know who you're fighting in this next fight?
Yeah, his name is Steve Canary.
And what do you know about him, anything?
Yeah, I know he's just a wrestler. I think he's, you know, he's a local guy. He has about, I think he's like 7-3, and you know, so he doesn't have that many fights. But I hear, you know, obviously he wants to take the fight with me, so you know, he obviously isn't scared, and so he's, I'm training for it. Like it's the biggest fight of my career, you know. So I'm not taking it lightly, and I'm ready to make my jump back into the sport.
And I mentioned earlier, I actually was in attendance at UFC 78. It's the only UFC show I've ever been to. So I actually think I walked in when your fight was ending with Marcus.
Oh, Lippen. You were there, huh? In Newark, New Jersey?
Yeah.
That place was crazy, right?
Yeah, it was a great, great place for a show.
Yeah. It's awesome. The Prudential Center, it's definitely a great venue, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, that was a tough opponent you had there. I don't imagine.
Yeah, Marcus Aurelio.
Like that.
Yeah, he was, I think he was eighth in the world at that fight, you know. And when they called me up, you know, about a month notice, and they said, hey, will you take this fight? And what are you going to tell the UFC no? You know, I said, heck yeah, I'm going to take it, you know.
Yeah. It was a very good card, too. I remember. Joe Lauzon was on that card. It's the first time I'd ever seen somebody get submitted with a standing rear naked choke. I don't know why that was a separate name for that, but man, that was interesting. And I forget who it was, but the main event there.
Bisping and Rashad.
Well,
is
there anybody you want to give a shout-out to or say hello to or thanks or anything like that? Sweet.
I would definitely like to, you know, give a few shout-outs out to a few people that's been definitely helped me out in my comeback fight. Definitely would like to say Grudge Sports, you know, Trevor Whitman and all the coaches there, you know, that's definitely helped me take care of me. Grudge Sports, you know, Inked Out's one of my bigger sponsors who's helped me out. Jewel on Fire, Relentless Fight Gear. I got Forza Fitness and Performance, Green Tree Heating Air Conditioning, Club Spill, and also my family, my close friends, obviously my girlfriend, you know, for helping me cook all my clean meals, for me getting on my diet good, you know, and, you know, I can't wait to come out and fight again because I want to show them that I'm back and make them proud.
Cool. Well, it's been great having you on, and thanks for the opportunity, and we definitely wish you luck.
Thank you for having me, and be looking for my name in the future.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. See you later.
Okay, so... going to try one last time, Bobby McGuire, since we got a few minutes left. That seemed like it was a quick enough interview. It's at least 10 minutes or so.
Hey. Give him a high bye. How you doing?
We're going to have to...
Hello?
Bobby!
Rich!
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, pal. How are you? I'm sorry I wasn't available earlier. It was stuck in a lovely New York City transit system.
That's all right. That's all right. No big deal. We got another 15 minutes left in the show, so we'll at least be able to get a few questions in.
I'm trying to find a quiet spot here. I'm in the city. Are you still at time? Are we going on tonight, or?
Yeah, we're live right now.
Oh, okay, terrific. I'm walking the streets of the city here, so I'm trying to find a quiet spot where I can hear you.
It's all right, we can hear you fine, so it doesn't matter. If there's noise in the background, we should be able to hear you fine.
You said you're in New York? There is no quiet spot in the city.
Yeah, there really is, to be honest with you. How are we doing, gentlemen? Everybody good?
Yeah, we're doing good. I'm actually out here in Las Vegas, so I'm not going to get a chance to actually see you guys in person again this year, unfortunately.
Boy. Hold on a minute, guys. Let me see if I can get a spot. Hold on.
Yes.
How's that? Anybody, guys?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, you guys are coming in a little bit
cobbled
on
you, so okay. So tell us a little bit about the team you're bringing up there to New England this time around.
Well, I tell you what, we're bringing up a lot of guys that fairly new. We got a few masters on the card, but every time we come up, the New England boys are always ready for us, and always end up being an exciting night. We walk out there with a win on most nights, but very, very close up there. Every year we've been there.
Cool. And what do you think about the whole setup there? Have you gotten a chance to see the venue at all or anything like that?
So what?
Have you gotten a chance to learn anything about where you guys are going to be fighting? This castle, the Park Plaza Hotel?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time, you guys. You're coming in broken up.
I'm sorry. Just tell us a little bit about the team, how it started, how you got involved.
Well, we started back in 1982. There was a bunch of guys that, wanted to do boxing as kind of a way to stay in shape for the job. And originally we were approached by a lady from the New York Telephone Company. There was one of their employees who was sick with cancer, and they were looking to do a charity show, and she came up with the idea of doing the New York Police Department against the New York Fire Department. And it started back in 1982, and we've been going strong ever since. Last November, we packed a house at Madison Square Garden. We've been doing this for 28 years now, and it's become quite a success and quite a rivalry between the FDNY and the NYPD. As of late, we've been going around the country fighting other police and fire departments for charity, and been responsible for raising several hundred thousand dollars for some great causes.
Cool. And what do you enjoy most about working with these guys, getting them ready for the fights?
Well, I'm a retired firefighter. I was forced to retire after injuries received 9/11. And it kind of keeps me in touch with the guys. It was a job I loved. I didn't really want to leave it. And this way it keeps my foot in the action there a little bit. In fact, I have my middle son, Robert. He's on the fire department now and has just joined the boxing team. So it gives me a little more incentive to keep this going.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So he'll be on the
battle. He's not ready for the ring yet, though.
Yeah.
We got him on the shelf, hopefully, for the police fire games. We have, incidentally, we have the World Police Fire Games coming to New York City for the first time in August, late August, early September this year. They're expecting 20,000 athletes from 70 different countries. It's really quite an amazing event. It only comes around once every other year. And we're going to have 5 nights of international boxing at the Jacob Javits Center in New York City.
Cool. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And as far as the fights coming up on Saturday, who's the guy that you have the most hope for going into this? Who do you think's really going to turn a lot of heads?
Well, I got a pretty good kid coming up, Edgar Reyes. He's a 29-year-old, 165-pound kid. His record is, he's 5-2 right now, but really maturing and turning into a good boxer. I believe there's been a lot of mismatch in this fight where different opponents have backed out with injuries or illnesses, so I'm not sure who the opponent's going to be this night, but Dennis Marucci, I'm sure you know Edwards.
Yeah, we
did a job putting these matches together, and he promises me he'll have an opponent for all my guys.
All right. Yeah, it's been hectic. He's actually put I think about 14 or 15 fights together, which I think is a lot more than last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, we got guys, we got a couple of master fights that should be doozies as well. They have
a guy, Ed Nelson.
He's 240 pounds against, I have a guy, Tim McGinnis, 225 pounds. Both these guys are training pretty hard for this one, and it should be a very exciting fight.
So how is the competitive rivalry? I know New England and New York, you know, for years have been sports rivals. And I know, you know, and obviously this is all in good nature with, you know, the police officers and the firefighters, you know, getting together and it's like a brotherhood out there. But it's also the same thing that I don't think anybody wants to lose at the same time either.
Oh, without a
doubt. I mean, you can tell by
the rigors of the matchmaking for this event. Every bout is closely examined. Nobody wants to give the other guy an edge. And believe me, New England is looking to get one back at us. I think we beat them in the last 2 years, and I'm sure they're pretty hungry to get one on their card.
Yeah, so...
After that, it's all about camaraderie between the departments anyway, and, you know, after it's all said and done, we go out, we have a couple of beers together, and it ends up being a great night. It's for a great charity, the Edward Rodriguez Foundation, which I believe helps for 50 children, and that's what it's all about in the end, you know?
Yeah, so it's definitely something good for a lot of people, hopefully it's going to benefit. And what do you like most about coming up to Boston for these events? Have you been able to get out and actually see the city and enjoy yourself, aside from the actual fights and the fight nights?
I tell you what, the guys look forward to this trip. This is our third year coming up. You know, we come up Saturday morning, the guys rest up, and we fight Saturday night. Then we have like a little after party with all the team members involved. And Sunday it's off to Fenway. We've been lucky enough where the stock have been home each time we've been up there, and the guys really enjoy the right field bleachers at Fenway. And we go there, and if the Yankees are playing, we'll root for them, but if not, we'll root for you guys.
Yeah, you get in trouble if you don't, right?
Yeah.
That's actually, it's funny. I know, when I knew Rich from back in the day, we were both on the same college boxing circuit together, and we almost fought each other in the 98 national finals. And then we had, I mean, I only met him very fleetingly that year, more of like a, hi, how you doing? And then years later, fighter out of Connecticut, Rich wrote an article about him. He shared it with me. I said, a guy named Rich Bergeron, I said, I was supposed to fight him in the amateurs from back in the day. We start talking, and so a couple of years ago, I was taking my dad up to Fenway as a Christmas gift. I bought him a whole trip up there. And we got to go up there, and before I went, I'm like, well, I'm a Philly fan. I'm a Philadelphia guy. They're not playing the Phillies, so why would I want to wear any Philly gear? I said, I'm going to, you know, get a Rocky Marciano shirt. And that's how I ended up meeting. I called the Marciano Foundation. That's how I ended up talking to Dennis Marciz, who is Rocky's great nephew. And
right.
Yeah, all because I wanted to
I'll
see
you. Me and Dennis probably have 400 or 500 emails and a couple of hundred phone calls since we started putting this together back in November. And I've never had a, which is the hardest I've had to work for a match because so many changes back and forth on both sides of the coin. But we finally hammered it out, and it looks like we're going to have at least 16 bucks on Saturday night.
I did enjoy going. It was the only time I've ever been to Boston, but, you know, went to a place right across the street, Boston Beer Works, had an awesome lunch there, had a watermelon beer for the first time. It was a great trip. I wish I could go back for this show. Unfortunately, I'm down here in Philadelphia, and I got to work this weekend.
Well, we got a guy from Boston, a guy from Philly. You know, it's two most hated towns in New York City. I'm glad you guys didn't stay here. You can pull in punches on me.
Okay. I'll give you one for New York, though. You remember a guy played for the Yankees, Reggie Jackson?
Sure. Everyone knows Reggie.
course, who's going to forget Reggie, right, Mr. October? Well, now, he grew up right outside of Philadelphia. He actually used to play pickup ball with my dad. They grew up in the same town. My dad was about 2 years younger, so they weren't as close. But my uncle is still so close to Reggie that Reggie's having a 65th birthday this year, and my uncle in Vegas, my uncle is, invited out there, and he's like, I don't know if I'm going to go. I got to take a day off of work. I'm like, well, if you don't want to go, I said, I sure as hell will.
Well, make sure he doesn't bring Greg Mills with him, right?
Yeah.
They had a couple of fisticuffs and so back in the Yankee heydays.
Well, Bobby, does anybody want to give a shout-out to or thank? We got to wrap it up here. It's getting ready to close
well,
up.
Well, greatly appreciate it, guys. The Podcastle, Saturday night, SDNY against going to law enforcement. Should be a great time. Look forward to seeing you, Rich. With a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not going to be there because I'm out here in Las Vegas myself right now. So kind of stuck out here for the duration.
Did you say Las Vegas?
Yeah.
I'm apologize. Have a great time out there.
Hopefully I'll see some replays or something. But we definitely wish you luck. And I know you guys are going to come to fight like you always do. And hopefully it's a good event. And I can't wait to hear about how it goes.
Rich, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it. And really appreciate the time.
Yeah,
all right, Bob.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Thank you.
All right, so we have about 30 seconds left. I'm going to sign out. Vinny's
signing off, too.
Yeah, Vinny's signing off. Oh, man, it's a nut house going on here. All right, so next week we'll have another couple guests, hopefully, and we'll see you then.
All right, sounds good. See you later, man.